And welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. And I'm Catherine Davis. And today we're going to have a very fascinating program. I'm being joined by my guest, John Monroe. And John Monroe is actually an eye educator. He deals with holistic eye care. But as part of that work, he is very much interested in and does a great deal of research into so many different forms of health, and he looks at what's happening scientifically, what kind of studies are arriving and are happening, and he's going to be bringing us a lot of great information today. So I want to say hello and welcome to John Monroe.
Yeah, hi, Catherine. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to have you join me today. And I think this is going to be a really special program. So can you start out by giving us an explanation of who you are as an eye educator? People may not have heard your work before. So I'd love for you to tell something about Dr. Banker, the person whom you studied with, and you're really working with her discoveries, and a little bit about your own experience in terms of how you were able to work with your own loss of eyesight and recover some of that through the work of Dr. Banker.
Well, Dr. Deborah Banker, I worked with her for 15 years in her clinic every day. And she was doing alternative, holistic approaches to natural vision improvement, ways to improve different eye problems and eye diseases non-surgically without drugs or surgery. And it was amazing when I met her. I was having some eye issues and, you know, eye problems, and someone introduced me to her back in 1991. And I started working with her in 1993 in August, and I've been working here ever since. And she just had a whole different approach, you know. It was no surgery, no drugs. It dealt more with eye exercises, diet, nutrition, attitude changes, lifestyle changes, your environment. And I learned an awful lot about different eye diseases and things that people have, and she was more into the cause of the problem and how to reverse it. So it was just interesting to see how she did this, and I would see all these patients coming into the clinic with all types of problems and having a lot of improvement in a short period of time. And it was just amazing stuff to, you know, experience. And the problem that people are having nowadays, you know, they're wearing glasses to see far away. You know, they're nearsighted or they're farsighted. They have presbyopia, that's trouble reading small print. And from what I learned from her is glasses and contacts and readers and progressive lenses and bifocals, they all help to cause eye problems over time. You know, they can cause problems and eye diseases to develop. And it was just amazing to find out about all this.
Well, that's, you know, that's pretty amazing. It was amazing for me, too, to find out about it, that it was possible to be able to do something to recover what, for all intents and purposes, you would think that was lost forever. And the fact that you can be empowered in that way, to me, is really, really important. So, yeah, I think that this is a great thing, and we'll talk about that. Some of the eye work a little bit more. What I'd love for you to do is get into some of the kind of interests and research that you do on a regular basis to discover how you can apply these new innovations to help people.
Well, we're always looking into, you know, different nutritional products, supplements that are out there to help improve the health of the body and the eye. And it also deals with people's lifestyles and their environment, you know, things they're doing, type of foods they're eating, you know, what type of exercise they're getting. It also deals with different... things with the attitude were really important, such as, you know, being angry, being emotionally upset, you know, not getting enough sleep, even the way you lift certain heavy weights and things can cause eye muscles to tighten up that move the eye around, the six outer eye muscles, and, you know, that can cause nearsightedness and farsightedness. And then another problem people have is presbyopia. That's trouble reading small print. And basically, it's something as simple as the way people read can cause presbyopia. So that was pretty interesting to see how that worked. And basically, there's a muscle inside of the eye. It's called the ciliary body. And the muscle goes all the way around the lens in the eye. The lens is behind the pupil and the iris, you know, the colored part of the eye. And the ciliary muscle, when you try to read small print or look at something up close, the brain sends a signal to the muscle and tightens the muscle up. And as that muscle tightens up, it's like a sphincter muscle. It's like a rubber band around the lens. And when that muscle tightens up, it squeezes the lens, and the lens gets thicker. And then when the muscle loosens up, the lens gets thinner because the muscle's like tightening a loop up around a balloon. And when you tighten that loop up, it's going to squeeze the balloon, and the balloon's going to bulge out. And then if you loosen up the noose on the balloon will get thinner, you know, it'll get smaller. So that's how you read small print, is with this muscle inside your eye. And whenever you sit and stare at what you're reading one distance from your eye, you'll notice people when they hold the newspaper up, they just kind of sit and stare at it one distance from the eye, or they'll have a book and they sit and stare at it when they're reading it. Well, that basically causes the muscle to tighten up, to focus. But when you sit and stare at it one distance from your eye, the muscle just stays tightened up, you know, the whole time you're doing that. And over, you know, if you're sitting there for an hour reading a book and you're just staring at it, that muscle stays tightened up like that for an hour. And that's what damages the muscle over time. It causes it to toughen up. You know, it causes the muscle to harden up, toughen up. You know, it's not good for it. And there's a simple way to prevent this from happening is she found this out from Chinese medicine, that the Chinese, when they read, they'll read for about 3 to 5 minutes, and then they move their head back about 3 or 4 inches, and then they read for another 3 or 4, 5 minutes. Then they'll move their head forward, 3 or 4 inches, 5 inches, and they'll read for, 5 minutes or whatever, and then they move their head back, and then they read. Then you move your head forward for a few minutes and read. So when you move your head back and forth like that, the muscle in the eye has to move to refocus. So it's not tightened up for the whole period of time that you're reading. So whenever you move your head back, you read a few minutes, move your head forward, read a few minutes, that muscle is actually moving to refocus. And that helps the muscle to stay healthy. You know, it keeps it in good condition. So that's real important that people, try to change the way that they're reading. And what happens is when the muscle hardens up and toughens up over time, it doesn't want to squeeze properly when the brain tries to squeeze it to focus. So you can't see good, and you end up going out and getting a pair of reading glasses. And you put the glasses on, everything looks fine, you can read. But what the glasses do is when you're wearing the reading glasses, you can see everything. So it kind of fools the brain, and the brain doesn't try to move the muscle to focus. So the muscle is just sitting there. The glasses, the reading glasses, bifocals, trifocals, progressive lenses, they can paralyze the muscle. It doesn't move anymore. And the problem with that is when that muscle tightens and loosens, it secretes fluids out of the muscle that come into the lens, which is in a sac. It's kind of sealed into a sac with this muscle around it. And the fluids come into the eye, into the lens, and it brings oxygen and nutrition and lubrication into the lens. So when you paralyze the muscle, it's not moving anymore. You've stopped the oxygen and nutrition and lubrication from coming into the lens. And then over a period of, say, 10 years of doing that, you can develop cataracts from that happening. And also, when the muscle tightens up to focus, it pulls on the Schlemm's canal, and that's a drain all the way around the edge of the iris. You can see it if you look in the mirror, where the white part of the eye, the sclera, meets the colored part of the iris. If you look all the way around your iris, you'll see a thin black line, and that's the Schlemm's canal. And that's where fluid drains out of the eye into the white part of the eye. It's absorbed into the sclera. And that drain, when the muscle inside of the eye tightens up to focus, it actually pulls on the drain and helps open it up, and it moves the tissue of the drain and keeps it kind of pliable and healthy. So that's the problem with presbyopia. There's just trouble with this muscle, and the glasses can help increase your chances of getting cataracts over a period of time and glaucoma. So that's the problem with these glasses. You wear them, and then over time, they can cause, more problems to the eye.
And a lot of people do wear glasses, myself included. Though one of the interesting things that I discovered was that when I first started having some issues with my eyesight, and I think this might have been, 10 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, and I went to an ophthalmologist. And an ophthalmologist, I think is probably recommended for many things. But it may be that I went to one that was more about selling glasses than actually interacting with how to improve my eyesight, because it wasn't a dramatic eyesight. It was just that I was noticing I couldn't see quite 20/20 as I used to.
Right.
And they gave me glasses, and the glasses themselves, first of all, caused me to have blurry vision. It caused me to have headaches, and I couldn't adapt to them. You know, I think maybe my eyesight was really, I didn't really need glasses. But I found that they were so uncomfortable that I just, you know, took them off and stopped using them and just went on using my eyes, you know, in a natural way. And I discovered certain things because I do still have a sense of reduced vision, but I feel that it's really environmental the way you speak of it. So when I'm in sunlight or in good sun, or in good lighting, I have absolutely no problem seeing and don't need glasses. But I find that in all of those situations where I'm in a darkened room and there's not enough light, that I do need glasses. So can you explain what's happening there?
Well, the reason the glasses might have been giving you headaches and things, he might have made your prescription too strong. And what you're having is nearsightedness. When you have trouble seeing, you know, far away out to the distance, that's nearsightedness. And it's always good to have good lighting. You know, that will always help you see better. And we've had people, you know, just stop wearing their glasses. Only wear them when you actually need them to do something. But if you can take them off when you're relaxing or just hanging out, you know, you're not doing anything too important, you don't really need to wear your glasses. Like if you're washing dishes or doing laundry or just taking a break, you know, you can just take your glasses off and don't wear them all the time. So basically you're having trouble with nearsightedness. And when it's darker in a room, you have rods and cones in the retina. And when you're in a dark area or at night, the rods in the retina come out. They kind of stick out more. And that helps you see at night more. You know, it gives you a little night vision. And then during the day when the sun's out and you can see all the colors, you can see that because the cones come out of the retina and they pick up color and things. So that's, you know, people will have trouble with how the rods and cones are working and have poor night vision, and other problems can develop. So it's good to have good lighting when you're, you know, doing things and want to see good. But also, a lot of times, they'll overprescribe a lens, and it's too strong, and it can, you know, irritate your eyes and cause headaches and things, and that might have been what happened to you.
Yeah, in the end, it worked out for me because I just stopped using glasses, and I do more what you say. I adapt to my environment, and I only use glasses in situations like that are adverse to my particular situations. But I also do a lot of the exercises that you talk about for the eyes, just as a natural course of things. So I don't allow myself to be in that state. So if I'm reading for a while, then I'll adjust and look out the window for a while. You know, right. So I try to adapt my habits to allow my eyes to shift. And I'll notice that, especially after using the computer, or if I'm on one of these little devices, that after I lift up my eyes from that, I can feel that there's like an integration, that has to happen because my eyes are not working properly in the natural world. So I would do some exercises with my eyes to bring it back into the context of looking at real life things. But what's happening for people who spend a lot of time at a computer screen or on one of these little digital devices?
Well, when you use an iPhone or you're on the computer a lot, see, the computer screen, the monitor, can put out some radiation and glare. The flat panel monitors, they put out a little less, but they still put out some radiation and glare. So if you notice when you're on the computer for a while and then you get off of it, you might notice that your vision's a little blurry or, you know, it's changed a little, and that's from the radiation and glare from the screen. But also when you're on the computer and reading a lot and going, say you're searching the internet for something and you're reading for an hour or 2 hours and you're on there doing things, you always want to every few minutes move your head back about 5 inches or so, read for a few minutes, move your head forward 4 or 5 inches, you know, read for a few minutes, move your head back and forth, and that will help you keep from winding up in bifocals. You know, it helps you move the muscle in the eye, the ciliary body. And you can also stop and look off to the distance for a few minutes, and that lets the muscle around the lens in the eye relax, and then you can start reading again. But it's always good to, say every half an hour or so when you're on the computer, take a break for a few minutes. You know, breathe normally, look off to the distance, and let the eyes relax. But when you just sit there for a couple hours and you just stare at the screen and you're reading and you have all that radiation and glare coming into the eye, that can affect the eye over time and cause vision loss.
Yeah, I think that people are probably beginning to experience this phenomena, this screen phenomena, because our work and our leisure life seems to be very much connected to a computer screen or a phone screen or some kind of digital device. So it's really important for everyone to consider that. So I would also like for you to, while we're talking about vision, go into some of the common problems that people have and what some solutions might be to those problems. You spoke a little about glaucoma. I mean, is there a point at which it's reversible, or is there a point at which surgery is necessary, floaters, you know, even the different kind of eye problems that might be more deeply connected to one's state of health as well? Because I know that people lose their vision based on, diabetes or some other kind of condition.
Well, people with diabetes, they're prone to diabetic retinopathy, and that's a problem with the retina, which is the inner lining of the eye, and it's about the thickness of tissue paper. And the retina's clear. You can see right through it, and you'll see the fine little blood vessels in the retina, which are about the diameter and size of the human hair. And they're very fine little blood vessels that let blood and oxygen into the retina. And if you don't have good blood flow through these blood vessels, then the cells in the retina, especially around the macular area, which is the central part of the back of the eye, the cells can start swelling up and dying and affect your vision. So diabetic retinopathy, macular degeneration, wet or dry, those are a lot of problems that occur from poor blood flow into the retina. There's also retinitis pigmentosa. That's another eye problem people have. And then there's retinal schisis. There's retinal dystrophy. There's Stargardt's. I mean, there's all kind of problems that can happen to the retina, and they can all affect your eyesight. And there are ways to improve these conditions with supplements, vitamins, you know, eye exercises, cleaning out the blood vessels. They fill up with plaque and calcium. You know, chlorine in water can cause hardening of the arteries. And then blood cell clumping, that's where the little red blood cells kind of stick together and they form like a roll of quarters, you know, and they can't get through these little blood vessels and capillaries. So there's a lot of things that affect the eye. And glaucoma is another big problem. It's a real nasty problem to have. It's probably, I think, one of the worst, because you can lose your vision in just a few days if your eye pressure is too high. And what it is the eye is constantly making fluid inside, and it drains out through the Schwinn's canal, and it goes into the white part of the eye, the sclera. But if that drain isn't working properly, the fluid starts building up in the eye. It's like a balloon filling up with water and getting bigger and bigger. And the fluid starts pushing against the optic nerve, where it comes into the eye, and it can damage the, you know, the disc or the end of the nerve. It crushes it, and when that happens, you lose your eyesight, and it can happen pretty quickly. So I want everybody to know a really good eye pressure is considered to be 10 to 12, and then 12 to 15 is okay, but 15 to 20, it's starting to get a little high, you know, it's something to start looking at. And then if the eye pressure is over 20, I mean, it can go up to 20, 30, 40, 50, you know, the eye pressure. But when it's over 20, it can start pushing on the optic nerve and damaging it. So I always tell people it's really good to have your eye pressure checked by an ophthalmologist at least once a year. Because when the eye pressure goes up, you really don't notice it until it gets too high and it's starting to damage the nerve, and you can start having sharp pain in the eye, you know, discomfort. And it can get really, really excruciating, the pain, if the pressure starts getting too high. You can start throwing up, and just it's horrible, the headaches you can get. So anytime you notice any pain in the eye or change in your visual field or your eyesight, it's always good to contact an ophthalmologist and at least go in and have a complete eye exam. They do a much more thorough eye exam than an optometrist. You know, they're more just more comprehensive in what they're looking at. They check for macular degeneration. They check your pressure. They look for cataracts. They check the optic nerve. They look at your cornea, the blood vessels in the eye. So it's always good to see an ophthalmologist if you have any change in your eyesight. You know, just call them and let them know, and go in and have them examine you. And that can prevent a lot of problems from happening.
I think that might be where I made an error. Because I didn't so much go to an ophthalmologist as I went to one of these stores that sell eyeglasses. Mm-hmm. Even though they say that they are ophthalmologists, and I'm sure that there are there, it changes the objective of the service that they provide.
Well, optometrists, they check your eyesight. And they mostly prescribe, you know, glasses and contacts and things. Some of them will check your eye pressure. But ophthalmologists, they're MDs, and they usually do some type of surgery, like glaucoma or cataract surgery. Some of them will do detached retina surgery, different types of procedures. So they do a much more thorough eye exam. And there's always a retinal specialist if you have a problem with your retina. And a glaucoma and cataract specialist, they work more with glaucoma and cataracts. And if you're ever sitting there and you have your eyes closed and you notice like flashes of light going off, like maybe a camera flash here and there, and you're having flashes in your eyesight, that's usually a problem with the retina, and it means there's pulling or stretching on the retina, and it causes those flashes. And that's what usually happens before you have a retinal tear or a retinal detachment. And that's where the retina actually tears open, and then the fluid in the eye works its way under the retina and actually detaches it from the eye. The corneals is what the retina sits on top of. And a detached retina is a very serious problem. And people that are nearsighted are more prone to having retinal tears and detachments and floaters developing, because when you're near or farsighted, the eye's becoming more elongated. It's becoming more egg-shaped. And it's being squeezed by the outer eye muscles that move your eye around. There's six of them. And as they tighten up and hold tension over time, your eye is being squeezed, and it's you know, just changing the shape of it, and it puts more tension on the retina. So we usually find people that are a minus 8 or higher in their prescription when they're near farsighted, they're the ones that are having more problems with detached retinas and retinal tears. So if you ever have flashes of light or discomfort in your eye, you should definitely see an ophthalmologist and you know, he'll probably refer you to a retinal specialist. And floaters, you know, people get these small hairs or black dots, you know, they'll see it floating around in their visual field. And what that is, it's vitreous jelly. And this vitreous jelly is on top of the retina. There's a thin coating of it, and it's like Vaseline. And it's the thin coating of this on top of the retina. It's formed when you're born, and the vitreous jelly helps nourish the eye as you start growing. But as you get a little older, it really just sits there. It doesn't, you know, nourish the eye anymore. But it can break loose. Some of this jelly breaks loose, and it gets into the aqueous humor. That's the rest of the fluid that fills the eye up. It's kind of like egg white. And that's what you're seeing, is a little piece of this jelly floating around in your eye. And they call it a floater. But they don't usually tell you what it's from or what's causing it. You know, they'll just say, oh, well, you have floaters. And they really don't tell you much of what to do about it, you know, the ophthalmologist. But there are ways to help stop that from breaking loose, and ways to get that jelly to reattach to the jelly that's on top of the retina. So there are ways to eliminate floaters. I had a lady call me last Friday, and she was just sitting there, and all of a sudden she had all these floaters appear in her eye. And she was having an argument with her mother. And I said, well, you're nearsighted, and you know, you're getting angry and emotionally upset, and it caused your eye muscles to tighten up some, and it squeezed your eye enough where it, you know, caused some of this jelly to come off and float around your eyes. So I'm helping her with her floaters, and she has a few other eye problems. But, I mean, that's how quickly it can happen. You could wake up in the morning and have several floaters in your eye, or you might notice a few of them. But don't be alarmed. That's just jelly floating around in there. It's, you know, it can't cause much problems to the eye, but it is annoying when they're moving around in there. So yeah, there are things you can do to improve those and prevent getting them.
I just wanted to remind people that you are listening to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, and I am Catherine Davis. My guest is John Monroe, and this program is Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. And today we're talking about eye care and eye health, among other things. Hopefully we'll have time to get to a few more things. But for those of you who want to contact John Monroe, what he does is he works with the research of Dr. Banker. So you can go to that website, drbanker.com, drbanker.com, and you can call his office. The number is 303-494-4532. That, again, is drbanker.com, drbanker.com, and the phone number 303-494-4532. Now, John Monroe is not himself a physician or a doctor, though he is working with the research of Dr. Banker, and he has many years' experience as an educator. So what he does is he helps to empower you through knowledge to protect your eyesight and to protect your health overall. So he's a good person to reach out to if you do have some issues and have questions. And John, I know that the medical profession, I really appreciate that you tell people that they should go to an ophthalmologist and get a real analysis of the condition that they're in, so that I guess people can determine what their options are. So what is it that your work can do to help people who are in various states of degenerated vision? What can be done?
Well, like I said, what we do is a non-surgical approach. We don't use pharmaceutical drugs. And I learned all this from working with Dr. Banker for 15 years in her clinic. And I'm more of a practitioner or a vision therapist, and my title's a natural vision improvement educator. So basically, you know, people call us here from all over the country. I have people contact us from other countries. And it's just a different approach. And we can help people with all different types of eye problems. And a lot of times I'll have them go see an ophthalmologist and have an eye exam and then get the information from the doctor, and then they can relay it to me and I can figure out what problem they're having and what to do for it. And a lot of times it's changes in your diet, your lifestyle, your environment, different supplements and herbs and vitamins you can use to improve the tissue of the eye, the health of the eye, increasing blood flow to the eye. So we work with people with high blood pressure. They need to lose weight. They have, you know, their eating habits, or there's different foods and things that people do that can affect the eyes. They're a very sensitive part of the body. They're like a thermometer in the body. So like alcohol is real hard on the eyes. It can dehydrate the eyes. And when the eyes dehydrated, that's another cause of floaters. That jelly in the eye kind of dries up some, and it's more prone to break off and float around. And then there's chemicals in cigarettes. There's chemicals in food you're eating, and GMOs, and artificial colors and flavors and sweeteners. There's different preservatives they use in foods and processed cured meats. And even too much exposure to sunlight can cause damage to the retina. It can also cause the progression of cataracts growing. And there's a lot of different types of cataracts. There's different types of glaucoma. You know, there's different types of macular degeneration. So once I find out what these people are doing, you know, what kind of food they eat, what, you know, how much exercise do they get, how much do they weigh, you know, I can start figuring out how to help them out. And we also have the self-help vision care kit. It's a kit that Dr. Banker developed, and we send these out through the mail to people, and they get it, and it has a series of eye exercises, acupressure, reflexology. There's information on diet, supplements, herbs. There's all kind of techniques from Tibet, China, India, Western medicine. It's a combination of things from around the world that improve eyesight. And you can see this on our website. You just click the products link and click on the Vision Care Kit. And there's 20 years of research and study that Dr. Banker did working with this kit and putting it together. And it's, I consider it the best vision improvement product out there on the market. And, you know, little children can, you can teach your children how to work with these exercises. You know, we've had children as young as 4 years old working with this and having improvements. And people, you know, teenagers, adults, seniors, even people in their 90s have worked with us. So, you know, it's not like brain surgery. It's more common sense, you know. And you can learn how to prevent getting these eye problems. So a lot of problems people have, like half of them, could be prevented. And that's what we teach people and help them with.
Yes, and I suppose if people can begin to recognize some of the symptoms at a earlier stage, then they're in better position to reverse it.
Oh, yeah. If you catch a problem earlier, or, you know, if you catch an eye problem early, it's a lot easier to reverse it. You know, if a problem gets too advanced, a lot of times you can't do anything for it, or it takes more time to reverse it. It's just like cataracts. We can help very beginning cataracts or stage 1 and 2 cataracts. But if it's a stage 3 or 4 cataract, the cataract has gotten so big, it's hard to reverse it. And then you have to have cataract surgery. But cataracts go in stages. So a stage 1 cataract is smaller than a stage four cataract. A stage four cataract is a real, the cataract is spread all over the lens. And a cataract is oxidized cells in the lens. And it's kind of like rust forming on metal, and it just grows and spreads. So the sooner you can, you know, be diagnosed or figure out what problem you're having, it's a lot easier to reverse it.
Yeah, I think that's true in most situations with regard to our health and our life, almost any issue. If you catch it earlier before it becomes a crisis, it's a better path.
Right.
We have about 10, 15 minutes left of this program. And I wanted to also go into some of these new research discoveries that you have been looking at. And I'm wondering if you had any things that you wanted to share on that account.
Well, I have been checking out, there's a product out now. It's called Stem Cell Activators. And there's a doctor in Florida. He was on WBAI about a week ago with Gary Knoll, and he was on Coast to Coast a couple weeks ago. And he does stem cell treatments, but he also is developing these stem cell activators. And it's basically stem cell treatments cost a lot of money. You know, it's $5,000 to $10,000, and you know, you come in, you do a stem cell treatment, and a couple months later you'll do another one. A couple months later you do another one. But it can cost you a lot of money. And the stem cell activators are a liquid, comes in like a 1 ounce dropper bottle, and you put 20 drops into like 3 ounces of water and stir that up, and you drink it in the morning when you first get up on an empty stomach. And for eye and brain problems, they have an activator. And you can even put a couple drops in each eye, and it soaks right in. And it's nanoparticles.
You mean up the diluted water you would put in your eye, not the full
water. Well, when you take the drops out of the bottle, you know, the liquid out of the bottle, you can drop that right into the eye.
Oh, okay.
But when you take it orally, you put like 20 drops in 3 ounces of water. But you can also apply it to the eye right out of the bottle. You don't have to dilute it. But what the stem cell activators have a lot of different peptides, and they're nanotechnology, nanoparticles. They're very small. And what they do is they go into the tissue of the cells of the brain and the eye, and it causes the stem cells in the actual tissue to reactivate and start growing into new cells. So this is something that... I guess I could mention the doctor's name.
Sure.
It's Dr. Joseph Cristiano, and he's outside of Daytona Beach, Florida. And his website is bodyredesigning.com. And you can get a hold of them and look at the website. But they have different activators, like the one for the brain and eye. It's good for eye problems. It's also good for brain problems like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and other problems. And they have an activator for the pancreas. They have one for the liver. They have one for the kidneys. They have one for the nervous system when people have neuropathy. So they have these different types of activators, and they're not very expensive. I mean, it's only like $50 for a month's supply. And you can use this at home and do it yourself, you know. And Dr. Cristiano is saying that this is the future of stem cell treatment. Eventually, you won't have to do injections or intravenous treatment. I mean, now they take the stem cells out of your hip bone, and they take the bone marrow out, and they separate the stem cells, and then they can put them back into your body with injections into your knees or shoulders or hips. Or they can put them in through the blood vessel, you know, intravenously. So this is, you know, a way that a lot of people can get more help with this because it's not so expensive. You know, it's not covered by insurance yet, stem cell treatments and things.
Have you tried it yourself?
Yeah, I have recently picked up some of this. I have some optic nerve damage that I'm working on. You know, I had some eye problems back when I met Dr. Banker. And I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I've had no bad side effects. And I've definitely noticed more energy and clarity in my thought. And I've even noticed just a few subtle changes in my vision just in 2 weeks. So I've decided to use it for 4 months, and I have 5 other people that are using it. I'm doing like a study. And, you know, one gentleman has Parkinson's. One lady has Snyder's corneal dystrophy. That's a problem with the corneas. You know, they start turning black and you can't see through them. And another guy has optic nerve damage and neuropathy. That's a problem with the nervous system. And I have another guy that has Stargardt's. That's a rare eye problem with the retina. And another lady has diabetes, so she got some of it for her pancreas. And I have another lady that has glaucoma, and she's using it. So we're going to see how it works out in the next few months, you know, how they're doing with it. And they're calling me each week and let me know how they're, you know, doing with it and what they're experiencing. So we're kind of trying to find out firsthand what these activators are doing.
Well, that's very, very valuable. We'll have to follow up on that when
right.
you're done with this. Because, you know, you're someone who interacts with people on a regular basis, and you're able to have this anecdotal picture of how these new systems, how these new kinds of products are actually working, so that you can know for sure if this is something that is going to be helpful in the long run, which is really pretty amazing. So we'll follow up on that later. Do you have anything else you might want to share? We don't have too much time, actually.
Well,
maybe another 2 or 3
there's
minutes.
There's another product that I found. It's called Serapeptase, and it's for sinus health. You know, it improves your sinuses. You breathe a lot better with this. And it helps remove proteins that form in the sinuses. But also, they found that this enzyme, which serapeptase is, it also eats up scar tissue internally and externally. And it also is helping to clean out the blood vessels. When you eat a lot of different refined oils, they oxidize in the bloodstream. And they become little hard particles, and they can actually put little cuts in the lining of the blood vessel. And when those cuts heal up, they form scar tissue. And over time, it can start, you know, raising your blood pressure and causing problems with the blood vessels. So the serapeptase helps to dissolve that scar tissue, and it's also good for people with scar tissue on the retina. And people that might have scar tissue on their cornea from radial keratotomy and other surgeries. So that's another product that I found and have been using. And it definitely opens your sinuses up. And serapeptase is S-E-R-A-P-E-P-T-A-S-E. And I bought a 5-month supply of it. You take one capsule in the morning on an empty stomach, and they're 40,000 IU, the strength of it. And it's not very expensive. I got like 270 capsules for like $36.
Wow.
And another interesting thing that I found out about, I told you about this the other day. It's called sodium erythorbate. And sodium erythorbate, they put that in sausages, hot dogs, different cured, you know, meats and things. And what sodium erythorbate is, it's actually earthworms. Like those big worms you can dig up out of the ground and go fishing with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually putting this in food, and they're really not telling people about it. And I think people should know what they're eating, and sodium erythorbate is what they call earthworms. So if you look on your sausage or, you know, those little link sausages for breakfast or hot dogs, look on the package and see if it says sodium erythorbate. And that's what that is. It's earthworms. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I thought people should know about that. And there's other, you know, products we've been working with. Pea protein powder is really interesting. It has a lot of amino acids in it and protein. And another great product we're trying out is raw organic meal replacement. And it's just packed full of different proteins and enzymes and vitamins and just a lot of great stuff in there. You just take a scoop of it, mix it up in a glass of water and drink it. And man, just in a half an hour, you can just feel the big difference. So that's another good product. And, you know, we work a lot with people with arthritis and gout. We have things for that. And like I said, if anybody needs information, you can look at the site or you can call us at the office. You know, it doesn't cost anything to call here and do a consultation, and we can evaluate your problem and what we do for it.
Mm-hmm. And that number, if you want to speak to John Monroe, is 303-494-4532. The website is drbanker.com, drbanker.com. Again, the phone number 303-494-4532. So that's pretty cool. You have a lot of very interesting information. And I'm encouraged to hear that you're actually trying these things out on yourself.
Right.
You know, kind of have a personal experience with it to know exactly what the reactions might be. And I'm presuming if these products are on the market that they have already been judged not to have serious side effects or anything. Do you know anything about any of the studies or side effects or potential negative side effects or even interaction by using some of this stuff with drugs or something like that?
Well, a lot of, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, they use the help the symptom of a problem, but they don't go to the cause of the problem and help reverse it. And about the only real pharmaceutical that I've ever seen that helped people were antibiotics. You know, they actually heal people and do things. They're real good for Lyme's disease and other problems. And but when you come down to organic foods and supplements and herbs and different vitamins and these other products that are coming out, like, say, the stem cell activator. They've been selling that for 3 years now, never had any problems with it. And Dr. Cristiano started developing that in 1976 with stem cell scientists. So you just need to, you know, scope out the people you're working with and see how they're doing. Even stem cell treatments themselves help improve conditions, especially if you need knee replacement or hip replacement. People are doing these injections in there and regrowing all the tissue and cartilage in the knee or the hips, and they don't need the surgery. So there's a lot of great things coming out. There's also these optical bionic implants that I'm checking out that they can put this small chip in the eye, and then it transmits a signal through the optic nerve, and people are being able to see. There's also gene therapy being done by Dr. Jean Bennett, and she's in Philadelphia. And visionforhope.com is her website. And she's doing a lot of stuff with gene therapy. And I know other researchers are learning how to regrow teeth in your mouth with stem cells.
Wow.
So you can actually regrow new teeth. That's coming out. So there's a lot of advancements coming up with stem cells.
That's really amazing. So we're just about out of time for today's program, and I really want to thank you, John Monroe, for joining us to introduce all of these topics. Take good care.
All right, thank you, and I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye for now.